Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 64 limbs of devotion. The balance of 44 items. These 44 and the 20 we mentioned, these make the summary of 64 limbs of devotion. Of course, within some of these 64 limbs, there are many, many minor limbs that are included. For example, when we say archanam, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam vartanam vedanam. When we say archanam, this means worshipping the deity, the archamurti, the archavigraha, archavigraha, archamurti, the deity form of the Lord. This is one of the 64 limbs of devotion as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj in seventh canto in his discussion. He said these are 9 limbs of bhakti, navavida bhakti. And these are pretty much recognized in all Vaishnava sampradayas as the 9 primary ways to worship Vishnu or Krishna. Hear about him, to chant about him, remember him. Serve his lotus feet, worship the form of the Lord, offer prayers, become a servant, a friend, and surrender everything. Atmanivedanam. When we mention this archanam, deity worship, then that includes so many thousands and thousands of minor limbs in it. Like we might say that the neem tree. So neem tree has one main trunk. There's one trunk. There's so many branches and sub-branches coming off the main trunk. At least 64 are the main trunks of devotional service. And bhakti angas, and there's so many minor angas, minor limbs. When we say archanam, that includes observing festivals, bathing the deity, taking the deity on procession, cooking for the deity, cutting firewood for the deity. Someone might say, well, what branch of bhakti is polishing the brass? You're polishing the Lord's plates. Well, that's archanam. It's all archanam. And what form of devotional service is it when you wash the floor of the temple? That's also archanam. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Vishnuradhanam aradhanam sarvesham vishnuradhanam tatam param vishnuradhanam param. Lord Shiva is describing to Parvati in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. Aradhanam sarvesham Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Radhanam Param. That of all the forms of worship, Vishnu worship is the highest. Tadiyanam Samarchanam, Sam Archanam. And not only is the word she was telling Parvati, of all the different gods, Vishnu is the highest form. The highest expression of God is Vishnu. All beyond the Devatas. The Devas and Upadevas. And the Vedas and Vedangas. They're all explaining that of all the different forms of worship, Radhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Radhanam Param, that Vishnu worship is the topmost. Then Shiva says, Tadinam Samarchanam, not only is worship of Vishnu topmost, but worshipping things in relation to Vishnu is also, or the articles, the people, the places, and the things in relation to Vishnu are also equally worshipable. Sama archan. Sama means equal, archan, equally worshipable. So in this verse it explains that not only is Vishnu worshipable, and worship of Vishnu is certainly one of the limbs, Vishnu Pada, Vishnu Smaranam, Vishnu Pada Smaranam, or Vishnu Pada Sevanam, serving the lotus feet, Vishnu Smaranam, remembering Vishnu. But Tadiyanam Samarchanam, worshipping articles connected with Vishnu. And Jagannath Puri, King Prataparudra, is very eager and anxious to have some intimate service connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was in love with Lord Chaitanya. By virtue of his Varna, he was somewhat prohibited from approaching the Vairagi Sannyasi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very intimately, because he was a king. And king, Raja, Raja is synonymous with Rajagun. So the two primary elements of Rajagun are money and women. When we say Rajagun, we mean passion. So money is the fuel for passion. So with money, one can enjoy intoxication in woman. So king, they say king is another name for money and women. Because king means Raja. Raja means Rajagun, passion. The mode of passion, the intense enthusiasm for material enjoyment, self-satisfaction, sense gratification. So this is the opposite of a sannyasi. A sannyasi is dedicated towards Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Namo Narayan, I am Narayan, I am Brahman. I am spirit, I am not matter. I am renounced, I'm not an enjoyer, I'm a renouncer. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represented this order. He represented the order of Vairag, detachment, Tyagi Sadhu, polar opposite of the king. The king represented the order of enjoyment. So Lord Chaitanya denied him access. He said, "No, I shall not meet with you. I will not grant you my audience. You cannot have my darshan." The king was rather distraught and unhappy by that rejection. So he can repeatedly petition the Lord and his servants. So the Lord said, "All right, I won't give myself to you, but I'll give something dear to me. I'll give something near to me to you." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his personal chatter, his yellow chatter, or red chatter. He gave it to Prataparudra. When Prataparudra received that gift of love, Vastra Prasad Vesh, then he worshipped that. He worshipped that Prasadi Vesh. When Prataparudra received that cheddar from Lord Chaitanya, he worshipped that as Prasadi Vesh. Prasad, or the mercy cloth, the mercy from the Lord, Tadinam Smarchanam. So the cloth of the Lord is equally as worshipable as the Lord. And so he felt the mercy coming from that cloth by worshipping it. He felt very happy with that. So this is Archanam. So the 64 major limbs are there. Now we're going to hear 44 additional limbs of devotion. These are activities that everyone should do. Everyone who claims to be a Vaishnava must carefully observe these 44 principles in order to quickly make advancement on the path of devotional service and to attain the desired result, which is Krishna Prem. Maybe it sounds familiar. We're also supposed to avoid the 10 offenses. So these are the 44. This is an interesting number, because 4 and 4 means 8. And 8 is actually the number 8 is the symbol of infinity. This symbol of 8 is this number for infinity. Symbol for infinity is also a tantric number. In Tantra, 8 is often used. And this 4 and 4 makes 44, 4 and 4 makes 8. So all these practices, if one engages in these practices, or these angas of devotion, then he will become very dear to the infinite. He'll become very dear to the infinite one. The infinite one can be served by the 8, by these 44, these 8 limbs of devotion. So here they are. One is marking the body with Vaishnav symbols. This means Urdhva Pandra. Urdhva means up, vertical. It's horizontal, vertical. Vaishnavas use Urdhva, vertical tilak. I have so many variegated shapes and forms. Red dots in the middle of a V or a U, or so many very, very distinguishable sampradayak tilaks. It's called sampradayak tilak, the tilak of your sampradaya. The tilak is like a flag above the palace of the king. The king's flag has his personal insignia on it, which indicates who he is or what his line is. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he had on his chariot, he had the flag of Hanuman. He had the insignia of Hanuman. It's called Kapidwaj. Kapi means monkey. Kapidwaj. Dwaj means flag. So Kapidwaj means a symbol of Hanuman. He had the embossing or the engraving, let's say, what do you call it? Not embossing, but embroider it. embroidery of a form, something like a picture, you can say a painting embroidered on this flag of Hanuman. Hanuman was a great hero in Treta Yuga. Hanuman, oftentimes people say that the real hero of Treta Yuga, the real hero of the Ramayana, was not Ram but Hanuman. In fact, there's even depictions and descriptions of the Ramayana Leela featuring Hanuman as the hero. Because in one sense, he was the most heroic personality. Of course, he was empowered by Ram, Shaktyavesh. He was a Shaktyavesh of Ram. He's an expansion of Ram. There's Panchamukh Hanuman and Panchamukh Shiva. Hanuman's an expansion of Shiva. Shiva's an expansion of Nantashesh, and Nantashesh is an expansion of Sankarshan. Sankarshan's an expansion of Balaram. Balaram is an expansion of Krishna. So this Hanuman is very powerful. In one sense he's Godhead, in another sense he's Shakti. There's five-faced Hanuman, Panchamukh, and there's five-faced Shiva, Panchamukh Shiva, Panchamukh Hanuman. It's one tattva in one sense. So he was very instrumental in regaining the hand of the abducted Sita for the happiness of Ram. So when everyone on the battlefield saw that insignia on Arjuna's flag, they started to tremble in fear. Oh, Hanuman has come. Hanuman is here riding on the flag of Arjuna. Surely victory will be his. So this is our flag. Prabhupada said the Sika is the flag of the Brahmachari. We're flying our flag, which is a Sika. But our other symbol of victory is the Urdhva Pundra Tilak. Urdhva Pundra Tilak. The top of our palace, the roof of our palace is the head. The city of nine gates. This is called Navadwara Deha. This body, Navadwara Deha, this body has nine gates. Like a city, usually cities don't have nine gates, they have four gates in the four directions. Maybe different walls also, seven walls, whatever, like Sri Ranga. So in this city we have a rooftop, a shikara, and the shikara is interesting. It's a similar word. The dome of the temple, the dome, the spire, the church spire. The church spire or the cathedral dome in Sanskrit is called shikara. Shikara means a temple dome. So shikara is something like shir. Shir means head. So on the top of the temple they have a chakra for Vishnu, and they have a trishul to indicate Shiva temple. And on the shikara of our temple, the temple of our body, the city of our body is our head. That's the topmost point. And we have our flag. Our flag is Urdhva Pundra Tilak, Sampradayak Tilak. So this is a must. For Vaishnava must decorate his forehead with Tilak. And there's in fact entire chapters about the glory of Tilak. Padma Purana has one chapter called Gopichand Mahatmyam. Gopichand Mahatmyam is an entire discussion about the glories of wearing Tilak from Gopitala, the lake in Dwarka, where the gopis had met Krishna. The expansion gopis had met Krishna outside of Dwarka, and they bathed and had rasa dance there, and all their anjans and kunkum and chandan washed off their bodies and mixed up in the clay in the bottom of the lake. Later they became known as Gopi Chand, the clay of the gopis. That's the preferred form of tilak for a Vaishnava, Gopi Chand. Since anyone's wearing this Gopi Chand, then is so much auspicity and so much sukriti. And there in that same Purana it says that the face of a human being that is not decorated with tilak is no better than a tombstone marking a graveyard. It's just like the forehead without tilak is like a slab of marble, like a slab of granite. And so many things it says, if you're studying Shastra, you're studying Shastra or you're chanting japa, or you're chanting mantras, chanting japa, studying Shastras, or engaged in puja, or any form of bhakti yanga, and there's no tilak on your forehead or body, then you get zero result from that activity. Nishfal, no fall, no fruit. Some stern warnings. In other words, the Shastras are saying, What they're trying to say by that is, put on tilak. Don't forget. It's of primary importance. Therefore, in the 44 limbs of devotion, it's mentioned as number one. Marking the body with Vaishnava symbols. Putting on the different signs of a Vaishnava, such as Tulsi garland around the neck and tilak on the upper 12 limbs. So this is a little more specific. And in the Sanskrit, Dhritir Vaishnava Chinanam Harer Namaskarasya Nirmalyadesh Chatasya Gre Tandavam Dandavam Nati. Tandavam Dandavam Nati. So that's number 21. And 22 is marking the body with the syllables of the Lord's name. So Chinna means the symbols, Ordva, Pandra, Tilak. And then syllables of the Lord's name is this Namashkara. Nama Akshar. Akshar means syllable. Akshar Nam. We have Akshar Dam. These Swami Narayan people, Akshar. Infallible, eternal. The eternal Nam, eternal Dam. Infallible Nam, infallible Dam. So Nam Akshar means to mark the body with the syllables of the Lord. Ra, De, Krishna, Sham, Gaura, Hari. And we, Prabhupada didn't so much emphasize this point, although it's listed as the 45th limb of devotion. Or was it 22nd? Where 22nd limb of devotion. Right, there's 44 and this is the second one, 22nd. But we see in other Gaudiya Sampradaya, lines of Gaudiya Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have this practice. They take the sacred clay, the tilak, Radhakun tilak, or Gopichand, and they write on their chest, or their forehead, or their arm, they write, Jai Shri Radhe, or Shri Radhe, Hare Krishna. So that's offering the body, and it's a type of kavacha also. The name of the Lord, the symbol representing the Lord, the symbols of the Lord, the Urdhva Pandra Tilak indicates that the body is dedicated to the service of the Lord. It's like a stamp, Tilak stamp. It marks, yes, this body is the property of Vishnu, property of Krishna. And of course, the holy names, wherever the name, Nam Rup Gun Lila, Krishna's name is on your body, that means Krishna is on your body. All of his power, all of his mercy, all of his protection. That was the type of kavacha. And Prabhupada considered to be he was pretty successful if he could get his disciples just to wear tilak. That was a big achievement. So he didn't want to give us too much at one time. He'd be spending all day in the front of the mirror trying to figure out how to write Hare Krishna on our body in an upside down way or backwards or forwards. To write it, you're writing it like this, do you write it for yourself upside down as you're looking at it, or do you write it so someone can read it when they look at you? And do you write it in English, or do you write it in Bengali, or do you write it in Hindi? Because generally people write in Bengali, because most Gaudiya Vaishnavas are Bengali. So you have to learn at least how to write Ra and Da. I remember we practiced one time, and sometimes it took us a while to figure out how to write it so other people could read it. It was upside down in the beginning, and even backwards. And if you look at it, it was upside down and backwards. It was right side up to me, but anyone else saw it was upside down and backwards. Radharani was standing on her head doing yoga. Radharani was standing on her head doing yoga on my chest, because the name is Radha. There's no difference. Where the name is, the form is also. Eventually, I got figured out how to make her stand on her feet. So when you look at the person, you see Ra, Da. And that's also part of the idea, to remind people of Krishna when they see your chest, if you're a man, or ladies, sometimes they sell these stamps also, brass stamps and hardwood stamps of this sesame wood, which says Radhe on it. marking the body. And it creates a certain kind of hankara. It's called tadiram, tadiram, Vaishnav tadiram. I belong to Krishna. Mamata, I'm yours, you are mine. Twadiya, Twadiya Bhav, I'm yours. O Radharani, I'm yours. Twadiya. And Mamata, Mamata means you are mine. Usually we have so many I and mine objects and people, this world. This is my wife, my husband. I am the wife, I am the husband. Wrong type of Bhav. So we mark our body by saying Radhe, Radhe Sham, Gornitai, or whatever. Then we think, yes, I belong to you. We write that name, we say, yes, this body is your property to do as you like. Manasadeya Yoki Chimur. My mind, my body, my home, whatever I have, it's for your pleasure. It's all to help contribute towards the mood of a servant, the mood of dedication, the mood of surrender, and a mood of devotion. That's what all these limbs are about. Number three, wearing the garlands, flowers, and sandalwood offered to the deity. It's called Nirmalya. Accepting flowers and tulsi water and other things offered to the deity of Vishnu. That's 23. 24. Tandavam. Tandavam means dancing frantically before the Lord in the temple. Like Tandavar Nritya, you must have heard Lord Shiva, Nataraj. Shankar, Bhagavan, Nataraj. It says here, number four. It's interesting. It says here in this book, it says dancing before the deity. It says number four is dancing, but this isn't quite accurate. Because dancing, you could say nach or natya. Natyam. It means dance. But the specific word that's used by Rupa Goswami is tandanam. Tandanam means, what is tandanam? Tandanam is, first of all, a male dance. It's called a tandanam. Females don't do tandanam. Krishna sometimes does the tandanam during Rasa Leela. It's described in Govinda Leelamrita. But tandanam is a dance specifically done by male, one male at a time, solo dance. And the greatest, well, let's say second greatest, Krishna's the greatest, but the second greatest performer, the Tandava Nritya, it's called Nritya. Nritya also means dance. So we could say Nrityam, dancing before the deity. But it says Tandanam, or Tandava Nritya, means, so therefore the translation is quite accurate. Dancing frantically, wild dancing, spinning, jumping, somersaults. One leg touching your ear, your right foot touching your right ear, your left foot touching your left ear. One arm up and touching the ceiling. Jumping, spinning. Like sometimes they say, oh, they were dancing like madmen in the kirtan with complete abandonment. They were completely oblivious to the outsiders. They were mad in ecstasy of kirtan ras. Dancing like madmen. Tandava. This is the dance of destruction. Pralaya Nritya. At the time of destruction of the universe, everything gets hot and fired up, so to speak. Everything gets 12 times hotter. The sun increases its heat and 12 times normal and starts burning up everything. And this burning is simply the expression of Shiva's anger. Because when you're angry, you get hot. When you're angry, you get hot-headed. Sparks start coming out of your eyes. On your head. So for the first sparks to come out, when the time of destruction, the sparks actually come out from the bottom of the universe. They come out from the mouth of Ananta Shesh. He starts spitting out sparks of fire from his mouth. Vish, poison. So those sparks to get the cotton on fire. You throw a little match on some cotton, the whole thing starts burning. So Ananta Shesh is a fire bug. He starts the first fire with spitting out some fire sparks. And then that ignites the anger, that ignites the joy of Shiva. So he gets angry and throws a few sparks on top of it. So to speak. And everything starts burning up. And he's dancing, and the planets are being pushed down. Every time he puts his foot down, the planets are going this way and that way, and the whole universe is going out of orbit. And everyone's getting a headache and reaching for their aspirin and Tylenol. He's like, oh God, where's the aspirin? My head's killing me. Dance of destruction. called the Dance of Destruction, the Divine Dance of Destruction. It's called Tandava Nitya. So Tandava. So this is Tandava Nitya. So Rupa Goswami is telling here that this is one of the Bhakti Yanga, Tandanam, that one should dance frantically before the deity. So dancing frantically before the Lord is number 24. So it says Tandanam and then Tandanam Dandavan. Everyone I think knows about Dandavats. So you dance frantically and you get so tired, then what happens? You just fall on the ground and do Dandavats. That's convenient. Good sequence. That's the sequence. It says, Nirmalya Deshcha Tasyagre Tandavam Dandavan 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 Nati. So Dandavan, this word van, V-A-N, van, we say Bhagavan or Vidvan. Vidvan, van means to possess, to hold, to have, to acquire. Van. So to have bhagya. One who possesses or holds or has bhagya or opulences or vibhutis, he's Bhagavan. 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 Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya. Says that Krishna has six different opulences. He's wealthy, powerful, beautiful, renounced, learned. So vidvan means one who possesses knowledge. Shastra vidvan. Possesses lots of knowledge. He's holding a lot of knowledge. Vid, ved. Power to know, understand, explain, perceive. So here it says, dandavan means that one of the qualities of devotion is dandavan means he possesses the quality of a stick, a danda, a lati, a lagudi. Lagudi. Lagudi or danda or stick. He possesses the quality of a stick. He's dried out. Devotee can serve the deity when he's dried out, when his the wetness of his material desires, the ocean of material existence is dried up. Stick is dried up. There's no juice, no rust in that stick anymore. So this is when we can actually dandavan. Of course it means lying before the Lord, that also has deeper meaning. You can lie before the Lord, but if you're full of material desires, then it's called bhogaishraya prasaktanam tai. You can lie before the Lord. You actually lie on the floor, lie on the ground before the Lord. But if you're full of material desires, then you'll be pretty useless. You won't be very useful for the Lord. Because you're attached to sense gratification and opulence. Bhogaishraya prasaktanam. You won't be very resolute in your determination. You won't be very determined. And you won't render very useful service because your mind is full of ikshape. Ikshape means distraction to bhog and aishwarya, wealth, opulence, enjoyment. So you're lying there. So you have to lie before the Lord, which means submission to the Lord. But then unless you're dried out like a dry stick, unless you're somewhat dried out from the ocean of material existence and the ocean of anarthas, you can't be very useful to the Lord. So dandavat here is being told. This is one of the 44 limbs of devotion. So dandavat means offering respects on the ground. First, dancing before the Lord, dancing frantically before the Lord, offering respect on the ground. Here it says, prostrate before the deities. So dandavan, this is dandavat, everyone knows dandavat. But when it says dandavan, then we have to look a little deeper. Because this is what the word says. So here someone, the translator is saying dandavan, to lie before the deity. Okay, we can't argue, that's correct. But when we say that would be dandavat. Well, dandavan means they actually possess the qualities of a stick. So we have to analyze what are the qualities of a stick. It doesn't resist. It's inflexible. It's dried out. It's straight. So we have to become straight. Not that we're going this way and that way, bending this way and that way. We're not crooked. We're saralata. Dandavan means saralata. Saralata means natural, simple, straightforward, simplicity, saral. So these are the qualities which are appreciated by Krishna, which Krishna can utilize in his service. A stick is useful, but if it bends, if you go to hold it, then it's like an old carrot. You have a 1-month-old carrot, and it goes, it's all limp. It's limp and weak. It bends this way, that way. It doesn't have any rigidity. It doesn't have any determination. So dandavan means possessing the quality of a stick means determination. Stick determined means that you're straight, you're fixed, you're not going to bend or waver. Unswerving practice of devotion, nishta, nishchita, dandavan. And then he's telling, that's 23, and that's the fourth, and that's the fifth one. Then rising up to see the Lord. And it says, standing up or rising from one's seat before the deities in the temple, also before the Guru. Dandavan Nati. Abhyutan Nam Anuvrajya. That means Utan. Standing up or rising before one's seat. So whenever one sees a superior, the deities, they come before the deities naturally, or if you're sitting in the temple, and the doors are closed, and the doors open, then immediately you should stand up to greet the Lord. Or the Lord is coming before you, or the superior person, the Guru, then one stands up to receive them, show honor. It says, standing up or rising from one's seat before the deities in the temple, also before Guru and by superior devotees. So of course, this discussion is specifically about bhakti, bhakti anga, the 44 positive limbs of devotion. These are practices which will increase our devotion. So naturally, most of these practices, as I already mentioned, are in relation to the deity, which means Krishna. For the Kanishtha, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna appears before him as the Archamurti. He establishes his relationship, his sambandha, which is the beginning of devotion. His Krishna sambandha is established with Krishna Murti sambandha. He establishes his relationship with Krishna by establishing his relationship with the temple deity, or his griha, kula devata, family deity, or griha devata, the murti in the house, deity in the house, home deity. He serves that deity, he submits to that deity, he worships that deity, he engages in various activities for the pleasure of that deity. That deity is Krishna, expansion of the super soul. So then as one develops, then this relationship becomes more personal and more pervasive. In the beginning, he only sees his Lord and his deity. But later he starts to see his Lord, the same super soul that came out and appeared as a deity, and he only sees him in the deity, and he starts to realize, oh, this deity is actually my super soul. And this deity that came out of my heart to accept my worship, my surrender, because of my sukriti, the development of my sukriti and the development of my surrender, my sharanagati and my shraddha, my faith and surrender have matured to such an extent that I'm qualified to serve the Lord of my heart. So the Lord of my heart has accepted my sincerity and manifested externally as Narchamurti. It's a little hard to serve the super soul. It's a little hard to cook for the super soul, dress the super soul, and touch the super soul. The super soul appears as Archamurti. So then you serve the Archamurti as a Kanishtha and become purified of Anartha Nivritti. And as they become purified of Anartha Nivritti, then the consciousness expands and you come to the level of Madhyam. Madhyam means middle class, intermediate. Then you start to realize, oh, this deity, my worshipful deity, is actually in my heart. And he's in the heart of every living entity, not only in the temple. So this is the beginning, this starts in the beginning way as a realization or a philosophical understanding at the level of Madhyam, and one becomes Uttam and Uttam Bhagavat, then he actually sees the Lord everywhere. These are gradual increasing increments of increasing realization of the all-pervasiveness of the personality of Godhead. So this principle here, standing up or rising from one's seat before the deities in the temple, or before the guru or superior devotees, it's being given here nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in relation to devotion. But this is actually, this is a principle of Vedic society. It's called achar, sadachar. It's a proper behavior for human beings. So in human society, there are codes of etiquette, codes of social decorum or behavior, which are enjoined for all the human beings. So in the Vedic society, there's so many, it's called ashram dharma and varna dharma. Some are specific and some are universal. Some are specific duties and activities according to your varna or ashram. And some are universal. For example, any human being, irregardless of his varna or ashram, He is enjoined to show respect to any superior, to a Brahmin, to a king, to an older person. Anyone who's superior, we should stand up to receive them. We should go out to greet them. We should walk behind them when they leave. These are the rules of the society. Any superior, father, grandfather, Brahmin, teacher, different senior personalities. But here it's specific to bhakti. So it talks about guru, deity, and superior devotee. For example, of course we have some dispensation because we're sitting on the seat of Vyas. But you see in the Krishna book, there's a story of Ramaharshan Sutta and Balaram, when Balaram was touring the holy places. Ramaharshan Sutta was speaking on the Bhagavatam. I think everyone knows the story. And he was speaking before the sages, and Balaram came in that assembly, and he didn't rise up to greet him. Everyone's familiar, Krishna book, 10th canto. He went on, and not only didn't rise up, but he didn't exhibit any manasik dainya, any humility within his mind. He didn't say, "Oh my, here's the Lord," here, and he didn't bow his head. He didn't say, "All glories to Balaram or Baladev." He didn't welcome him or show any form of manasik or kayak with his body, with his mind, or with his words. He didn't show any form of recognition, appreciation, humility, respect towards Lord Balaram. He was quite, quote-unquote, puffed up, quite proud. Although he was holding the seat of Vyasadeva, and he was representing Vyasadeva before the assembly, which is a very exalted position, Adi Guru, Vyasadeva, Sampradaya Guru, still he should have showed some form of recognition. So then to teach him, because he was proud, then Balaram wanted to teach him humility. So you could say that this verse, the verse from Shikshastakam that Lord Chaitanya gave all of us, which is so important for our advancement, Srinadapi sunichena turori vasahishina amanina amanidena kirtanya sadari. This verse says the word trina. Trina means a blade of grass. So this shloka first manifested 5,000 years ago in Balaram's Leela. Balaram took a piece of trina. He took a piece of grass, he picked it up and said, "Oh, you're not thinking of yourself as lower than a blade of grass? You have so much ego, so much hankara, so much dumba, so much demoniac dumba and pride. So I'm going to take this piece of grass and teach you a good lesson." So he took the piece of grass, trina, the word is there in Sanskrit, trina, which means grass, and he, doink, he touched Ramaharshan Sutta. And what happened? Haribol. He was dead. He killed him with a piece of grass. So what actually killed Ramaharshan? The blade of grass or his ego? So what killed Ramaharshan was his pride. And there's an expression in English, pride precedes a fall. So he fell down. He fell off the dais, he fell off the asana, and he fell off his body, and he fell all the way out. And then where did he fall? He fell on the grass. And when he fell on the grass, he realized, oh yes, this is a good verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tsuriva. So we have an expression, better sooner than later. Better we realize the import and meaning of this verse of Shikshastangam now than later. Better we become very humble and think of ourselves and act lower than a straw in a street before we fall on the grass, crack our head. We have many years to realize this before we change our body. So this is, he's showing that Ramaharshan should have stood up to receive the Lord. He could have stood up from his Vyasasan and welcomed it with some words or folded his hand. So when one is in the presence of a superior devotee, just a superior devotee, doesn't say sannyasi, GVC, guru, etc. Just anyone that you recognize, senior Vaishnavi, senior Vaishnava, then we should stand up. Rupa Goswami is saying, "Avyutanam, You uta means uta vraja. We should move upwards. We should stand. If we're sitting, we should stand to receive them with some kind words, and just the standing up is enough. If you're ever moving in cultured circles of Indian people, you learn this custom right away. And then later you'll be judged on how much you understand Vedic culture. And it's all according to hierarchy. I remember recently once I was sitting, and I was sitting with one pundit, Brahmin, out in his courtyard. And then another Brahmin entered the gate. There were two chairs. I was sitting in one, and there was this pundit Brahmin Grihastha sitting in another. And another pundit Brahmin Grihastha came in the gate. So knowing something about the culture by the mercy of my Gurudev, I immediately stood up from my seat, and I walked towards the Brahmin. And the other Brahmin, who was junior and younger than the elder one, he also stood up and said something, "Welcome, Panditji, this, that." And then I motioned to the senior pundit. I said, please take my seat. He said, no, you take. I said, no, you take. And I insisted, so then I went and got another seat. So this is the culture. And this senior person who came, this Vrijvasi pundit, Grihastha Brahmin, he was remarking in Hindi to my pundit friend. He said, "Oh, this Mlecha Yavana, this Mlecha Yavana, he understands our culture very well. His behavior is very nice." He was very happy. Well, this is a very common, basic point. But somehow Rupa Goswami thought it was important to write it down, because he wrote these books for us, not for him. Rupa Goswami certainly knows how to behave in every circumstance, but he knew that Kali Yuga is coming, and I better write everything down, and better put everything in black and white, so everyone knows clearly exactly what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do, so there's no questions, no confusion, no doubts. So this is called sadachar, the behavior of the truthful person. So this is actually the merit of the Gaudiya Vaishnava, his behavior. His behavior is more powerful than philosophy. If philosophy is not backed by behavior, it's only some exercise, verbal exercise. So behavior is the most important proof of philosophy. The most important expression of philosophy is behavior. You may have the greatest philosophy and even know it inside and out, but if your behavior doesn't match the codes, if your behavior doesn't match the codes of your philosophy, then it's what we call hypocritical. Or at least your understanding or expression of the philosophy is hypocritical. You know one thing and do another thing. You've learned one thing, or you represent one type of philosophy, a philosophy of divine love, a philosophy based on divine love, recognition, respect, service, but yet your behavior indicates opposite thoughts or psychology. There's some dichotomy. There must be a synthesis. There must be a synthesis of behavior and philosophy. So unlike any other philosophy on the planet, Gaudiya Vaishnavism is an extremely behavioral philosophy. Gaudiya Vaishnavism, unlike many other philosophies, is rooted in, based in behavior. It's a behavioral philosophy of life. You wear your philosophy, you live your philosophy, you act your philosophy, you speak it, you think it, because it's based on divine love. Divine love is the most encompassing principle of reality. There's no more higher or more encompassing principle of reality than love. And the divine love takes in the whole universe, from the ant to the elephant, from the ant to Indra, from the Indra Gopam to Indra. So this, it behooves us to realize the teachings that we've received and implement them in our behavior. So Rupa Goswami is giving us basic guidelines how to implement our philosophy into our everyday behavior. 27. Following the departing guru or any superior devotee to some distance as a mark of respect to him. It's also, when you live in a culture like India, you learn a lot of these things. That's also listed here as rising up to see the Lord, following behind the Lord, following behind the Lord's procession. That's how it's listed here. Rising up to see the Lord. Here it's a little bit more specific. Walking up to the temples of the Lord, circumambulating his temple, offering archan. Here it's told, following behind the Lord's procession, going to the Lord's residence, circumambulating the Lord or his dham, performing archan. As you hear all these 44 positive practices in bhakti, you see how many of them are all connected to the deity, which means connected to the super soul, which means connected to the immediate form of Krishna, whom we have a relationship with. In other words, these are 44 ways to please Krishna. Direct active practices to please Krishna, who, as I mentioned in the beginning, appears before us as the Archamurti. And by engaging in all these activities, we become very conscious. Prabhupada said, first become conscious and become Krishna conscious. You can't be Krishna conscious unless you're conscious. Conscious means come to the platform of sattva-gun. Because someone in tamagun is unconscious. Someone in rajagun is barely conscious. Rajagun means he's conscious of himself, which means slight form of consciousness, because besides you, there are a few other people in the world. So one is in rajagun, he's only conscious of himself and how to exploit others for his pleasure. So it's like half consciousness. So one comes to sattva-gun, then he's conscious of himself and others. So that, you could say, is the beginning of material consciousness. You're materially conscious if you're sattvic, because you're conscious, first of all, you're awake, and you're aware of yourself, and you're aware of others. Oh, there are other people in the world? I have to cooperate? I have to submit? I have to work in harmony with others? Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was a man's world. It was a me world. I, me, mine. I thought everything was for me. I thought everyone was my slave. I was the Lord and Master. My mother and my father, everyone's my master. I'm the big baby of the house. Oh, there's other people. So rajagun transforms into sattvagun. Then you start to realize. Then you can say that's the platform of consciousness. So become conscious. Oh, now you're conscious. Well, there's me, and there's other people, and we have to live in harmony together. And then there's also above all of it, there's God. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I should be conscious of Him too. So then that's Krishna consciousness. So first become conscious, then Krishna conscious. So these all these different points, these 44 practices or 44 limbs of devotion, are simply making us conscious of Krishna, conscious of the deity, conscious of the deity in our different activities. Oh, the deity's giving darshan. Oh, stand up. Oh, the deity's in procession. Oh, yes, walk behind him. Oh, all these, it's quite, all these points are helping us wake up, jeev jago, gora chandra boli. Udila Aruna, listen, Jeev, wake up. I'm standing here, I'm in the house, I'm in the temple, I'm a person, really I'm a person. I'm the supreme person. Don't be, and act like a person towards me. Be conscious of me, treat me like a person. I'm not stone, I'm not Archamurti, I'm a living person. Gradually, step by step, start to realize this. Sing for me, speak to me, walk with me, stand up, sit down. Everything centered on me. Please realize this. So this is the gradual, these 44 practices are contributive to the awakening of the personality of the soul, the Atma Persona. It's called the Atma Persona. The individual personality of the soul can be awakened by interacting with the deity in these 44 ways. Like we have sometimes people write books, 31 Steps to Liberation. Right? You've heard this book? So these are 44 steps to divine, 44 steps to the blossoming of divine persona. 44 steps to realizing the personality of the soul. something. We had to work on the title. Get it. We had to work it out this way, that way. Get the most catchy title. So Rupa Goswami has given the 44 sets. 4 and 4 is 8. 8 is infinity. 8 is mystic. 8 is tantric. 8 is everything. Asasakis. Astasaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Right? She's a Shiromani. She's a crest jewel of all the 8 Sakis. There's 8 Sakis and 1. There's actually 9 Sakis. 1 is the ringleader. 1 is Yuteshwari. Yuteshwari is Radha. And then she has her Astasakis. Astasakis? Of course, there's also another list in Padma Prana of Astasakis. So the Astasakis include a few from Radharani's party and a few from the rival party. And that's also, there's also the Ashtasakis in Vrindavan. Radha, Chandravali, Lalita Vishaka, Padma, Shaivya, Chitra, Champak, like this. So some are Radharani's side and some are Chandravali's side. But together these are the 8 major Sakis. It's also listed like this. But if you want to go Radharani has her Ashtasakis, and she's the 9th one. And Chandravali has her Ashtasakis, and she's the 9th one. This is some consideration. So these 44. Now, offering Archan, everyone knows about that, circumambulating the temple. And then number 31, the total of 64. Number 31 is offering various forms of services, such as cleansing, washing the floors of the temple, dressing, bathing the deities, cooking for the deities, etc. This is called Paricharya. It says Archanam and Paricharya. Paricharya means these varieties of services. This is performing Archanam, performing menial service to the deity. So this is reassuring, because someone might say, oh, Prabhu, I'm only sewing outfits for the deity, but I'm not doing Archanam. I'm not a pujari. I'm not offering artik, I'm not dressing the deities. I'm simply a transcendental seamstress, transcendental tailor. Is this devotional service? I have some doubts all day long, running the sewing machine. Janmasthami, I'm staying up all night for days and days, making Radharani's outfit, adding this thing and that thing and this sequence and that sequence and this embroidery and that embroidery and this last minute touch and that minute touch. Trying on and adjusting and readjusting, re-sewing, opening, cutting, this, that. Is this bhakti? Oh, Prabhu, I don't know. Oh, Gurudev, please tell me. Someone told me this is not Sarup Siddha Bhakti. This is not Sarup Siddha Bhakti. This is just, you know, karma. I'm in a dilemma. So the Gurudev says, yes, Archanam Paricharya Cha. Paricharya. Paricharya means all these related services to the Archanam. Yes, mopping the temple floor is pure devotional service. Yes, sewing outfits is pure devotional service. Yes, stringing garlands is Shuddha Bhakti. Yes, washing the pots is Shuddha Bhakti. Yes, shining the artik spoons is Shuddha Bhakti. This is all pure bhakti. Yes, offering artik is Shuddha Bhakti. Yes, rolling ghee wicks. It's Shuddha Bhakti. It's Archanam Paricharya. So be assured. Number 32, singing the glories of the Lord in front of the temple. So singing for the deity. And then next thing, that's Gitam. Then Sankirtam. There's Gitam. Gitam is one person singing the glories, singing some ashtakams or prayers before the deity. Going in front of the deity, singing Madhurastakam, so many nice prayers and stutis are there. Vibhavari shesha aloka pravesha nidra chari uta jiva bolo hari hari mukunda murari rama krishna haya griva nashringa vamana shrimadasudana rajendra nandana shah. This is Nam Sankirtan. This is of course also Gitam if you're singing alone. Sing the glories of the Lord, prayers and glorification, Lord. The next one is Sankirtan. That's, of course, congregational singing with many others. And then the other thing here, number 13, singing in a group. 12, singing for the deity, singing in a group before the deity. 14 is performing japa. counting beads while silently not allowed, in parentheses, chanting the name of the Lord, japa. Japa, generally when we think of japa, we think it means to chant our mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. And it can mean that. In Gita, Krishna says among mantras I am the chanting of japa. But generally in the scriptures, japa is meant to refer to the diksha mantras that one receives. He's counting on his fingers. Ladies, gents also count. In different ways, different sampradayas, Vaishnavas count from different fingers, they count in different directions. Some mantras you go one direction on the fingers, other mantras you go another direction on the fingers. It gets quite technical. Start with a different, you know, you go this, go up index finger to pinky, pinky to index finger, or ring finger, different places you start, depending on the mantra, if it's tantra or it's mantra. So this japa, this term japa, J-A-P-A, refers to generally counting on the fingers, and these diksha mantras are usually told silently, because no one is supposed to know your diksha mantra, no one is supposed to hear your diksha mantra. Prabhupada, I inquired from Hari Sauri, who was serving Prabhupada. I asked, how did Prabhupada chant his Gayatri? Because I wrote some book about Gayatri. And he said that Prabhupada would chant it, but it would just very softly murmur. This is called Upamshu. Upamshu means softly murmuring. Audible to yourself, but not audible to anyone else. No one else can really hear it. So that's permissible also. But japa generally means, what this limb of devotion means, you sit before the deity and you cover your hand with some cloth and then you chant silently, counting with your fingers, and you chant silently the diksha mantras. You must have noticed, you see pujaris, if you're observant in temples, they close the curtain, they bring the boga inside the temple, they ring bell, chant mantras, and they offer the boga to the Thakur, the noon, the Rajbhog. Then they come outside and they sit in front of the deities. I mean, they sit before the deities, although the curtain's closed, but they're sitting there facing a deity, and they're chanting their Gayatri, noon Gayatri. It's called Anik, Anik, or Tri Sandhyam Vandanam. So this is what's being told here, to sit before the deity and chant one's japa. But we generally take japa to mean the Ma mantra, because it says you're counting on beads, although it's not, it just says japa. The translator of this book, Bhan Maharaj, is saying japa means chanting on beads. But here it's quite true to Bhan Maharaj's style. He's a man of few words, he doesn't like to waste words. If you ever receive a letter from Bhan Maharaj, it usually never has more than four words in it. You write him a letter of 10,000 words and 500 questions, and you get a letter back from Bhan Maharaj with 20 words and answering everything. It's quite a... Brevity is his middle name. He's very brief. So it says japa, so he said performing japa. The 14th limb, the 14th of 44 limbs is performing japa, and the Sanskrit says japa. So he says, performing japa. So here he says, chanting, counting beads while silently, not aloud, chanting the name of the Lord. So that's the translator's poetic license. There's nothing there about beads. Because mantras are also counted. Japa, generally japa refers to diksha mantra and chanted on the hand. If it says Hare Krishna japa, then it will imply chanting on mala. Vigyapti stavapascha. Vigyapti stavapatascha. Swado naive dipadyayau. Dupyamalya disorabhyam. Shimorte sprishti rikshanam. This gyapti, like we say, Saki Vigyapti. We have one prayer by Narottam Das Thakur. It's called Saki Brinda Vigyapti. Brinda means group. Vigyapti means, oh, group of sakis, Saki Brinda Vigyapti. Oh, this word is there, Vigyapti. This is actually the 15th practice of devotion, offering words or sentiments. And it's called vigyapti, which means submitting one's inner feelings towards the Lord. I rather prefer the translation of this book. It's a little more user-specific. This one's a little brief. So together, that's why I'm reading both. So this prayer by Narottama, Sakhi Vrinda Vigyapti, I think everyone's heard of this prayer. Radha Krishna Pranamor Jugalakisho Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahimor Shangori Ange Deva Chandanera Ganda. So we're submitting our prayer to Lita, Vishaka and other Sakhis and Mandris. Oh, please bless me that someday I may have the Adhikar, the qualification and the opportunity to anoint the limbs, of Gauri and Sham, Sham and Gauri, Radharani and Krishna, anoint their limbs with chandan paste and to offer them a flower garland and other beautiful intimate services for their pleasure in the groves of Vrindavan. So it's called Sakhi Vrinda Vigyapti. So this is one of the practices. This is a form of prayer. It's Vigyapti. There's a whole category of prayer called Vigyapti in the Prarthana by Srila Narottam Das Thakur and others, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these type of prayers. It's called petition. Petitioning the Lord with prayer. Oh, when will this happen? When will I attain this service? Oh, please grant me this service. It is my desire, my hankering for this. So Vigyapti and Stava. Stava and Pat. Vigyapti, Stava and Pat. So this Stava means reading prayers from the scriptures. Stava and Pat. Like we say, Bhagavat Pat. Bhagavat Pat. Bhagavat Pat is scripture and it's full of prayers. There's so many prayers in the Bhagavatam. Brahma Vandanam, prayers of Brahma, and there's Shiva's prayers, chanting the prayers of Lord Shiva in the fourth canto, and Prahlad's prayers, and Dhruva's prayers, and Kunti's prayers and Draupadi's prayers and the prayers of Vrishasura in the sixth canto and the prayers of the Yajnapatnis are offering prayers and the wives of the Kali are offering prayers. So many prayers. The Bhagavatam is full of prayers. It's called Stava. So Bhagavat Pat means studying the Bhagavatam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Stavas, offering so many prayers. It's very pleasing to the Lord. So again, all of these, one by one, each one of these practices, these 44 positive practices of devotion, are all aimed towards and directed towards the deity. It means the personal form of Krishna manifesting before our eyes in our own very lives, from day one in devotion. Submit our inner feelings towards the deity, reading prayers from the scriptures to the deity. To the deity. It says the Lord, but what does it mean the Lord? It means the Lord appearing before us as a deity. It's time. Time's up. So tomorrow we'll start with this number. Offering words or sentiments, reciting prayers. Tomorrow we'll start with 17. Tasting food offered to the Lord. Here it says, honoring the edibles offered to the deities in the temple. It's called Naivedya Padnyayo. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare.